Pep Talk is about to begin. Hey, 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 come on in.
Welcome back to Buckeye Talk. It's the Thursday edition, but we're doing it Wednesday night live in the Zoom. We got a couple Zoomers in here. Got our basketball Zoomers because this is a basketball pod. And listen, guys, I know, you know, we've been dropping in basketball. We did a little basketball. I was checking the numbers. I get nervous about the numbers. I was checking the numbers on the podcast. So we can look at individual episodes, how many people listen. There's no dip for the basketball pods. Like, you know, we put in the headline. It might be basketball talk. People are into it. So it might be loyal people who just like zone out on their drive or on their treadmill or running outside or when they want to get away from their family and they just listen to anything we have to say. But I think there's an audience here for this. So I'm excited to talk about it because I did 26 minutes of research. And if I do 26 minutes of research, I consider myself an expert, but we mostly will lean on our basketball expert, Stephen Means, on this show. Also, our good friend, Nathan Baird, longtime history of covering NCAA basketball. So we do have some questions from the texters that we have gathered. We will take some live questions along the way. Anybody wants to ask a question, you can raise your hand. But I want to start off, this is like a postseason preview. They have a game with Illinois this weekend. Again, this is coming to you Thursday morning. And then they go to the Big Ten tournament and then the NCAA tournament. So we're going to talk seeding. We're going to talk how good are they? How far could they go? We're going to talk Ohio State's recent NCAA tournament history, but I do want to dig in kind of a little bit on some of the specifics about the nitty-gritty of basketball. So Stephen, we'll start off with this. One of the questions that I'll pull up here was about CJ Walker and his role, and he's been coming off the bench, right? Is that something that should continue, or how would you use CJ Walker heading into the postseason for Ohio State?
He did start against Iowa, but I think that was more matchup based. I think it is going to be matchup based and what you want from Justin Arnes and Justice Suing, whether he's a starter or is he a guy coming off the bench. But either way, he's going to play 25 to 30 minutes. He's going to play the starter minutes regardless. It comes down to, can he guard the first 6 minutes or not? Or do you want to find a way to get Justin Arnes going in a game? Because he hasn't made it, obviously, before the second half of the Iowa game, he hadn't made a 3-point shot in maybe three or four halves. Justice Suing, where's his mind at? Is he being aggressive as a playmaker, or is he playing softer than he should be playing as a guy who's 6'7", 215 pounds? So it just kind of, what are you getting from those two guys to start a game? Because you know when CJ Walker comes in, he's going to be that calming presence as a true point guard floor general for you. So I don't think it necessarily matters that much as long as he's out there the last 4 minutes.
All right, I'm going to run through the other basketball stuff, like the on-the-court stuff that I have nothing to say about. So then we can get into the theoretical feelings about basketball and its place in the hearts and souls of our listeners, because that's the kind of stuff that I like to talk about. It's like, oh, how do you run offense? How do you run defense? It's like, I don't know. So one more. This is a combination, and I like these because it's about the team on the court, but it's also about bigger picture from the 941. By the way, the CJ Walker question from the 505. So thank you in the 505. From the 941, is the glaring absence of a big man, other than maybe Zed Key, a recruiting failure? The Buckeyes don't have and haven't had under Chris Holtmann anyone to counter a big man like Hunter Dickinson. Doesn't have to be 7'2 like Dickinson, but something more than 6'7. Steven, how big of an issue is it on the court for this team this season? And is it a recruiting failure that there aren't better options when it comes to big guys?
I don't want to call it a recruiting failure because it's not like they targeted a bunch of guys in the past two classes and just missed on all of them. I think it's more a philosophy of how Holtmann wants to play a little bit. I remember after the 2019 NCAA tournament. Yeah, that was the last time we actually had a postseason 19 tournament when they lost in the second round. I went up to him and I think the closing interviews, I was talking to him about that team that they put, I think it was Houston, if I believe.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, it was Houston. And the way Houston's personnel was set up was they had a big guy, yeah, but the majority of their talent was on the wing. It was a lot of guys who were between 6'5 and 6'8 who could do a lot of different things on the perimeter, and they could post you up if needed to be, but they were perimeter players who were just bigger guards, basically. And I remember asking Holtmann, this just in a conversation, is that kind of the way you want things to be here, how you envision Ohio State being
that team right there, the team you just lost to, can you see that being Ohio State? And in a way, he kind of said yes. That's what he kind of wanted. He wanted versatility on the wing, being able to play a lineup where the starting lineup recently, where your point guard is 6'7", and your wings are 6'5", 6'6", and your best player is 6'8", 6'9". And there are benefits to that because you can switch everything on defense. You've got a lot of guys who can do a lot of different things from a versatility standpoint. But the trade-off is when you play the Luka Garzas of the world, when you play the Hunter Dickinsons of the world, when you play the Kofi Coburns of the world.
Oh, when you play the best players in the Big Ten, you don't have anybody who can guard them?
Yeah, but you've got a game plan for it. And they did it the first two times they played Illinois and Iowa. They had a great game plan for those two guys. It's not like those guys just went off and had crazy nights. They won those games. Hunter Dickinson just had a really good second half in a game that Ohio State lost by 5 points. And then in this against Iowa this past Sunday, their offense just didn't show up. Luka Garza was amazing as well, but your offense was the main problem there. You could not score. But for the most part, they've handled their own against these big men and haven't really allowed them to just dominate them game after game after game. And so, yes, you probably want somebody that's taller than Zed Keed, who's 6'8", 245 pounds. But for the most part this season, they've been able to stand their ground even if they don't have a seven-footer.
So I will say, I think every coach in the world, I think every coach in college basketball wants versatile wing guys. And I do think you can fall into a trap where you love – who doesn't love a versatile wing guy? My wife would trade me in for a versatile wing guy tomorrow. My children would trade me. It's like, who would you want as a father? I want a versatile wing guy. I want 3 and D. I want a guy who can guard multiple positions. I want a guy who can, you know, screen and then shoot a jump shot or roll to the basket. I get it. But you can trap yourself by recruiting a roster of nothing but versatile swing guys. And I do think if you're not careful, it can happen. I think it happened to Thad Matta at times. And sometimes you look out there and it's like, hey, look, we have 9 guys who are all the same. And we don't have any point guards and we don't have any big guys. And I think it is something you have to be aware of. Nathan, do you agree with that? That it is, you can fall in love with versatile swing guys when you're recruiting.
I absolutely think you can, because they fit into so many other dimensions. I do think, though, to go to what Steven was talking about, when I watch Ohio State basketball too, you know, it's not like I watched that Michigan game thinking, boy, if only Ohio State had someone as good as Hunter Dickinson to put in the lane to counter Hunter Dickinson. Like, there just aren't that many of those guys out there. So when you can land those guys and capitalize on them as Michigan is doing, it really means something. But I would caution people to overreact and think, well, if Ohio State just had a big guy, because there are so many times when you can put a guy like that on the floor and against another matchup, they become a big liability. So it's really, now as you're getting in the NCAA tournament, it really does become all about the matchups.
All right, enough basketball talk on this basketball podcast. I want to talk about feelings. And this is where I want the people who are joining us here in the Zoom to chime in a little bit. It's been 8 years since Ohio State basketball had a fun NCAA tournament. And when I realized that in my 26 minutes of preparation for this podcast, it blew my mind and it hurt my heart. Because what is better than a great NCAA tournament run? What is better than prepping like the last couple weeks of the regular season when you feel like you have a team that's got a shot, when you get into your conference tournament and you win a couple games, maybe you don't win it, maybe you don't, but you feel like something's building to it. You get so jacked on Selection Sunday. What's your seed going to be? Now you start charting the paths and you figure out, you know, who has an easy path to the Final Four and who doesn't. And looking at your team, you have a legitimate conversation about that. Since 2014, anybody want to play this game? I'll take a hand raised in the room if you want it. Maybe one of you guys knows. I didn't know. I remembered it when I look back. The last 7 years, and it's hard because Chris Holtman thought he had a Sweet 16 last year, and they didn't have a tournament. They've beaten 3 teams in the NCAA tournament since 2014. 3. Do you know who those 3 programs are? The 3 NCAA tournament wins that Ohio State has since 2014?
Iowa State is one.
They beat Iowa State in 2019 in the first round before they lost to Houston. And I remember prepping this up. South Dakota State.
Yeah.
I remember writing about South Dakota State. They're the Jackalopes, I think. Are they the Jackalopes or the Jack-a-somethings? Jackalopes, because a jackrabbit, a jackalope is a jackrabbit with horns. So I think that's a better mascot. It's just a better mascot. A rabbit with horns is a better mascot. And they had a guy, I can't remember who he was, but they had some guy who scored 26 points a game, and it was like, oh, how do you match up? They beat him. So that was in 2018.
South Dakota State is the Jack Rabbits, by the way.
I don't care. Oh. They should be the Jackalopes. I'd buy a Jackalope mascot. I'm not buying a Jackrabbit. No offense to rabbits. VCU, you got it, Steven.
Yeah.
2015, they beat VCU before they lost to Arizona. They are 3-4 in the NCAA tournament since 2014. The last time they had fun in the NCAA tournament was 2013, last-second game-winning shot by LaQuinton Ross, last-second game-winning shot by Aaron Kraft. They beat Arizona. They beat Iowa State. I was covering them in the Staples Center in Los Angeles, thinking they're going to the Final Four, man. They just got to beat Wichita State. What is Wichita State? I remember Ron Baker? Yeah. You guys remember Ron Baker?
Fred Van Vliet.
Who's Fred Van Vliet? Really, is that even a name? It's like, oh, Fred Van Vliet, who's like a key to an NBA championship team. Yeah, Fred Van Vliet. I remember Ron Baker's family was staying in like the same Fairfield Inn I was staying in. They were all sitting around at the Continental Breakfast with T-shirts that were just a cutout of like Ron Baker's mullet. Like it was like a silhouette of their family member's mullet. And I was like, who are these people? And they beat Ohio State. But that was a great, fun tournament run, right? It's post-Jerry Sullinger, but it's Kraft. It's LaQuinton Ross. It's a fun, interesting team. That was 8 years ago, man. Nathan, what is better than a great, exciting March with your team? I can't believe it's been 8 years because you know what? If you're the kind of team where it's like, well, you're going to get in, you'll win your first round matchup, but anything beyond that would require an upset and like nobody's really counting on it. That's a whole different experience. And these fans, people sitting in with this Zoom room with us, listening on this podcast, 8 years, Nathan, that's too long.
Yeah. And we have an interesting perspective on that because when you cover NCAA basketball games, NCAA tournament games, post-game interviews are in the locker room or where they are when there isn't a pandemic. Like you walk into the locker room and the guys are just all sitting on you, these little folding chairs around their lockers, and you're walking into the middle of it. And it's either like euphoria or it's the saddest thing you've walked into since like the last funeral you were at. And if it's in that first weekend, it is very funereal. Like, and I did that more times than I did what you're talking about, which is getting to that second weekend where the fan base kind of gets to take things up a notch and as far as their enthusiasm. You get people, you know, following them around the country and stuff. So it really is something that I think this fan base probably is longing for right now. Just that taste of getting back into that second weekend. There's just a whole nother level of relevance in that second weekend.
Yeah, I've covered one tournament and just because last year's got canceled and literally seeing a 48-hour, you know, shift in emotion from when they won on a Thursday night to losing on a Saturday night. It was interesting.
So this is what's happened. So the last time Ohio State had a great tournament run, they lost to Wichita State in the Staples Center on March 30th, 2013. At that point, Urban Meyer had been the head football coach for a year. They were banned from the postseason that year in 2012 under Urban Meyer. So the Urban – what has happened is like one of those things. I hate these stories. It's one of my least favorite kind of stories. The last time this happened, milk was 14 cents. It's been that long. The entire Urban Meyer football era basically has come and gone since Ohio State last had a good NCAA tournament run in basketball. We previously on this podcast talked about, hey, how could Holtman and Day get to the level of like Tressel and Mata or Urban and Mata? It's like, well, it never was Urban and Mata. It was Tressel and Mata. Because by the time Urban got here, Ohio State was falling off a cliff. That is a long time, Stephen. And there was a time nobody ever thought that Ohio State basketball was more interesting, more important, more embraced by the fans than football, right? I mean, football is always first. But think about where the football program, the entire elevation of Ohio State from best team in the Big Ten to national power on a level of Clemson and Alabama, that entire football evolution has happened in the time since the basketball team had a fun march. So I think the gap, when I think about that, when I think about when I was covering both teams everything Ohio State by myself. And I loved going from football season to basketball season. When I think what it was like back then, that's still to me, like, that's what I feel sort of about Ohio State sports. That connection of like, hey, I just came off covering the best football team in the Big Ten, and now I'm covering the best basketball team in the Big Ten. And that's what it's like to cover Ohio State sports. It hasn't been like that. Now, it's not that the basketball team hasn't been competitive, but I can't believe it's been 8 years. That loss to Dayton in 2014 feels like yesterday to me. Ari and I drove to Buffalo. They lose Aaron Kraft's last game. They lose to Dayton in the first round. The Dayton Daily News like runs the headline that's like the University of Dayton that crams it up the cram hole of Ohio State. Ari and I driving back in my car, in a rental car, we run out of gas. It's one of like the three times in my life that I have run out of gas. Ari's with me. I spent much of Ari's career here at Cleveland.com was spent with me yelling at him. He's a tremendous journalist. He was younger. He's a great guy and a great journalist, and I just yelled at him all the time, and I could have him on to tell all the stories about it. That was like his hand in the relationship. Like anything the rest of time that I said to Ari, it's like, why didn't you do this? Well, we should. He was like, at least I didn't run out of gas. We ran out of gas. We got picked up on the side of the road outside Buffalo by a guy who had worked in a concrete factory his whole life, and he said he had cement in his pores from working around it all his life, and that it clogged up his pores, that his face was like filled with cement. I don't know why I remember that, but he told us that. And we went and he drove us. We got gas. And we went back and got that. That was the beginning of the end. That guy with cement in his pores was the beginning of the end. I know that concrete and cement aren't the same thing. I think one leads to the other. I don't mean to use them interchangeably. I apologize for my lack of knowledge on the subject. That was the beginning of the end of Ohio State basketball. Like Steven, like I, like the my reality, right? You're doing this now, Steven. You're going from covering Ohio State football to Ohio State basketball. My reality, what I thought was the norm, is not your reality. How awesome would it be if it got back to that? Can you imagine that?
I'd be very tired by April. But yeah, this year has been a lot more exciting. And to the point, I think it's funny how the Ohio State basketball program ran out of gas at the same time you guys did. But it would be interesting to do it just because
it's very
I just covered a national championship game. And To be in a position where I might be able to do that again, basically cover two national championship games in a span of 4 months, would be an exciting time for a fan, but also for me, because that's a fun thing to cover rather than coming off of the high of the football season as I have the last 2 years, and then coming into a basketball program. It's now getting my full attention in January, and it's, why does this team keep falling off a cliff every January? That hasn't been the storyline. So if this becomes what Holtman is going to do every single year, they're going to be amongst the best teams in the Big Ten and a top 10 team in the country. This is going to be a lot more fun of a team to cover.
So I want to get into what they actually are, right? So we've just expressed our feelings. They should be better. Nathan, you were around it then. You were covering Big Ten basketball in that time period, right? Where, and again, yep. Big Ten basketball was good then. Big Ten basketball is good now. Ohio State's place in that conference in recent years isn't what it once was, you know, 10 years ago. But don't you think, like, this is too long, right? That again, in the last 7 years, since that 2013 Elite Eight run, they're 3-4 in the tournament. That is not good enough for this program. Like, is that a fair assessment in your mind? And again, I am treading lightly on the idea that everything about your program is wrapped up in your NCAA tournament record, because it's not, and it shouldn't be. And coaches shouldn't be hired or fired based only on NCAA tournament runs. You have a 31 game regular season to prove yourself, and that matters a heck of a whole lot too, but they should do more in March. Yes.
Yes. And I think that if we want to go make a callback to a previous Buckeye talk when we were doing the combined football basketball rankings, I think why my impression of Ohio State maybe lagged a little bit behind was because of just this recent period where they felt much more ordinary. It obviously wasn't that long ago that they were among the very best programs in the nation, obviously getting to national championship games, winning the Big Ten with regularity. I think we have a question about that kind of situation later coming up. But this past gap has just, again, when you compare it to what several other basketball programs in the Big Ten have done, which is get into the tournament and go deep, Wisconsin and Michigan being the two best examples. Michigan State obviously still seems to sprinkle in a Final Four run every couple of years, regardless of what's going on. Purdue getting to that Elite Eight and almost beating the team that won the championship. Like, you've had examples like that. And then Ohio State's kind of been just that next tier down of really solid, but they've been like at the upper tier of a tier that would include those Iowas and those other teams that, like, yeah, they win games, but what comes of it? And they need a year. Again, it's, you can't make everything about the NCAA tournament, because again, it is all about matchups inclusive to that week, that weekend, whatever. But every once in a while, you've got to have one of those years that's like, this is what came of it. We made this impression on a national level.
So one more big picture question before we get in a little more to the nitty gritty of what's going on with this team from the 5-6-7. Thad Matta won or shared 5 Big Ten regular season championships in 7 years. Given the depth of the Big Ten, is something similar a realistic expectation for Ohio State under Chris Holtmann? If it is realistic, when will it start? If it's not realistic, what is a realistic expectation? Steven, I think there's another side to this, right? We're saying don't put everything on the NCAA tournament, but also conference titles are hard. But I do think, like, okay, well, will he win 5 in 7 years? No, I don't think he will. But if you finish second or third or fourth or fifth and you make the Sweet 16 a couple times, I think that can stand in, right? For like, I'll take that. Hey, we finished fourth in the Big Ten and we made the Sweet 16. Hey, we finished third in the Big Ten and we made the Elite Eight. All right, there's not a regular season banner hanging, but that's like a really good year. So let's use one of those things, Steven, either conference regular season title or like a Sweet 16 run, like a really good year, right?
Yeah.
Like, is that like 5 out of 7 years a really good year? Is some level of what Matta did a realistic expectation for Holtmann?
Yeah, I think the hardware of it is just an extra detail in it. What's most important is when you're talking about a conference that right now has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it's got 6 ranked teams and all 4 of them are in the top 10. That's what you, in Ohio State's one of those 4 in the top 10. That's what you need to be asking out of Holtmann is, they're one of the best teams in the Big Ten, which means if you're one of the best teams in this conference, that means you're one of the best teams in the country. And every single season, you should be in a position where you're getting to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament and making a run. That's what you should be at. The whole winning 5 and 7, that's not realistic for any school in the Big Ten right now, just given how deep it is. And as we've seen, I mean, Illinois just wiped the floor with Michigan two days ago by the time a lot of people hear this. Iowa just wiped the floor with Ohio State. That stuff is going to happen. And so you can't – the hardware doesn't – it's just, can you be consistently one of the 4 or 5 best teams in this conference, which makes you one of the 4 or 5 best teams – 4 or 5 best teams in the country typically.
And then make a run.
And then make right? a – yeah, and don't lose in the first or second round of the tournament. Get to that second – weekend, and then let's see what happens. Every year, that should be the expectation.
Right. I think there's some combination of that. Like top 4 or 5 in the league, Sweet 16 a decent amount of the time. That's a good basketball program. That's what I think Ohio State should be. So let's get off big picture. Let's get to this season. And how good are they actually? We'll do that next on Buckeye Talk. All right, back on Buckeye Talk. I think possibly on the previous podcast or 2 podcasts ago, I believe the phrase fake good may have slipped out of my mouth in the midst of a discussion. I think it may have just slid right out, just like boom, just like came right, whoop, right out of there. Probably not fair. Probably not fair. Because they're on a 3-game losing streak, top 10 team, Hall of Fame coach, top 10 team, and now they're finishing the season with the top 10 team. So I get it. Sometimes now, like the Michigan loss was like the game of the year. Then they got Izzo'd. And guess what? Sometimes even when Michigan State's not great, you might get Izzo'd, baby. Stuff happens. And then they lost to like a really good Iowa team. And now they're getting ready to play like a really good Illinois team. But I do want to parse this a little bit. They are in the best conference. 13 of the last 35 NCAA tournaments since they went to the 64-team field, 13 of those years, a conference has gotten 2 1-seeds. So the Big Ten is going to get 2 1-seeds probably. It's not unprecedented. It actually happens a decent amount of the time. I think most of the time it's like Carolina and Duke, right, or whatever. But it does happen, so it's not unprecedented. I tried to look this up. I couldn't find it. I heard Jay Billis mention it during the Michigan-Illinois game. I think if they have 4 teams who are all 1 or 2 seeds, that might be the first time that's happened, which is like a depth of elite talent, right? If we're talking about that's how good Michigan, Illinois, Ohio State, and Iowa are as a group, mm-hmm. that they might all be top two seeds. So they are 1-0 against Illinois, and they're finishing with Illinois. They're 0-1 against Michigan, game of the year, went back and forth, could have gone either way, and they split with Iowa, right? So they're right there with all these teams. Right now, the bracket matrix. And you guys go to bracket matrix. Everybody knows bracket matrix.
I do.
Pulls together. Love bracket matrix. For people listening who don't go to it, I just think just Google bracket matrix. And it just pulls in like every conceivable bracket that somebody's done on the internet and amalgamates them. It's like the 247 composite rankings. So it's not just some guy. Oh, I did that guy's bracket. It pulls them. It's like 100 brackets. And in that, as we talk here at 7:30 on Wednesday night, Michigan's a one seed, Illinois is a one seed, Ohio State's a two seed, Iowa's a two seed, okay? So this is what I want to ask Stephen about specifically first, and then I want to talk more about what's happening with this team right now. Who's better? And by better, I mean like better now. I don't really care who was better in January. Who's a better team right now? Who has it, and who has a better chance to do something in the NCAA tournament? So who's better, Michigan or Ohio State?
Michigan.
Who's better, Illinois or Ohio State?
Ohio State, because I don't know what Io's.
Do we assume he'll be back for the tournament, though?
For the tournament, yes.
Maybe not for this last game against Ohio
Correct.
State, though.
But I think he'll be back by the time the Big Ten tournament starts.
If he's healthy, who's better, Illinois or Ohio State?
Illinois, but not by much.
Who's better, Iowa or Ohio State?
Ohio State.
Definitely. Like, clearly or close?
Yeah, even with the way that game played out, if I don't know how many more times Ohio State's offense is going to play that bad.
Okay, so my question is trying to compare them to them. We had, you know, last time we talked about basketball, I think they were like still like a number one seed. They're not a one seed. They're not a one seed.
They're the best two seed.
The thing that I came, you know, but I'm just talking about like you watch them or whatever, like the stuff I was saying about like NBA players and whatever, like they're not a one seed. So some of this, and we're going to get to questions about like, oh, did they peak too early on this slide? Some of this is the schedule got harder here at the end. As we just said, they're finishing four games, our top 10 team, Hall of Fame coach, top 10 team, top 10 team. That's rough. But they also had good early wins. They beat Illinois earlier. They beat Iowa earlier. They beat Rutgers earlier. They beat Maryland earlier, right? I mean, like you play a lot of good teams in the Big Ten. I think anybody who was really thinking about them, even at their peak as a one seed, I don't think they were ever a one seed, Stephen. When it really comes down to who they are as a team, I think that was shooting a little bit too high. And what is happening is a realistic settling of them, which is, I think they're going to be a two seed. Although if they don't take care of business, maybe it could be a three. I don't know. But this is more who they are, I think. I think that's what's happened here at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think a couple of things have happened. Yeah, you're right. They, from a talent standpoint, a raw talent, and just being a complete team, they probably weren't a one seed. But I mean, it's a coin. I know I said Illinois, but that's a coin flip between Ohio State and Illinois. What's happened here is the 15 games that they're going to play once you add in Illinois since that Penn State game that was supposed to be played on January 6th that was postponed. The 15 games they'll play since then, seven of those are going to be against ranked opponents. And they're 10-4 so far. And that's just there's no other way to put it. This team's just tired, which is, they needed a week to prepare for this Illinois game. That's a lot of high level basketball for any college basketball team to be playing when every other game you're playing is basically an NCAA tournament game. And so it's the fact that they played so badly against Iowa in the moment seems shocking. But when you put all that into context, this team is just probably just tired, and they needed a week off. They needed to get some guys healthy, especially when you have guys like Kyle Young and Musa Diallo and Seth Towns who aren't practicing every day. They're not they have to skip practices for health reasons. You probably needed a week to prepare, but I think they're not the most talented team in the Big Ten, but outside of Michigan, they might have the highest ceiling in the Big Ten just because of we've seen what their offense can do when everything's clicking. 87 points, almost 90 points in a basketball game. And their defense has shown at times that they can put together some stops. Holding a team like Iowa, who's an offensive juggernaut, to 73 points is pretty impressive. If your offense shows up, you probably win that game. So it's – no, they don't have an NBA player, but if we're going to be honest here, Michigan doesn't have an NBA
player like that. The NBA players they do have are the same that Jordan Peele was an NBA player where he might get drafted but spend most of his time in the G League. Like
they don't Isaiah have a Livers. They don't have a first team.
They don't have all a legit. Yeah, they right? don't have a first team All Big Ten player, and they don't have a legitimate first round. The best NBA player in the Big Ten is Ayo Dosunmu. Then that's probably the Big Ten Player of the Year and the National Player of the Year, especially with some inconsistencies that Luka Garza has shown. And Luka Garza is not an NBA player either. He's like Tyler Hansbrough, where he's an elite college basketball player, but that doesn't translate to the next level.
But in this comparison against these other three teams, we're talking about four teams that are all going to be top two seeds. Michigan's best player is better than Ohio State's best player, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Hunter Dickinson's the best player.
Illinois' best player is better than Ohio State's best player.
Yes.
And Iowa's best player is better than Ohio State's best player.
Yes.
So I'm using NBA player. I am being specific with NBA player because there's a different thing.
It matters.
About Garza. But even within, they don't have a first team All Big Ten pick. And I wonder, I'm all for great teamwork. I'm all for team defense. I'm all for moving the ball, all of that, all of it, of course. But I just wonder about that, Stephen, when we're getting down to the nitty gritty. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about, you know, them as one of the top eight teams in the country. I still wonder about that nitty gritty comparison.
I think, well, EJ Liddell's probably going to be a first team All Big Ten. But to your point, yes, I think if you match all these teams up, who's Ohio State's best player isn't better than those three teams' best player. But players 2, 3, and 4 might be better than those teams 2, 3, and 4 is where it's, and that's to the point of, what do you want? Do you want depth or do you want elite player? And Ohio State with this roster has chosen depth while those other three teams have clearly gone elite player.
Nathan, what would you rather have in the NCAA tournament? Elite player or good team depth where you can go maybe 9 deep, play both ends of the court at a high level, play connected, play team defense, be well coached? Or would you rather have a superstar?
No, I mean, by and large, you've got to have special guys. I don't think it can be one doesn't preclude the other, obviously. I mean, you can have a well-coached team that plays cohesively that has great players. They have to play great at the right time, too. But I think typically to separate, to make those deep runs, you've got to have something special cooking. And that usually involves an NBA player.
So Jake in the 419, I think, agreed, Stephen, with what you just said. This may be an obvious hoops question, but is this losing streak just a product of a worn down injured team that played tough competition, or is this a lesser talented team that was just maxing out their potential for a stretch? Do you guys still believe this is a Final Four quality team? That was Jake. And then from the 512, similar, did the basketball team peak too early? So I do think so. You just talked about this, Stephen, but there are two specific things I think I want to get into there. Do you believe in that in terms of the peak? Like, were they playing better earlier in the year when they were winning, or are they playing just as well right now? Again, we just said the Michigan game was the game of the year. They just didn't win. You know, they did some good things against Iowa. They didn't do some good things. Were they actually playing better basketball earlier in the year that the peak too early thing might be on the table?
I don't want to say they were playing better basketball. I just think they were playing a level of basketball that was leading to success that seems sustainable when you watch it. Guys shooting and making shots that their games dictate that they should be able to shoot and make. Making plays on the defensive end that you would expect that guy to be able to make. It wasn't like Justin Arns turned into this elite playmaker who was also get a defensive stopper, or Kyle Young was shooting 50% from three-point range or something like that. All these guys were playing to their strengths, and it was leading to success. So because of that, you thought, okay, this can work in March. The problem is, in the moment, I don't think any of us were thinking about how many really good basketball teams they were playing. And you're asking a team where, in a tournament, you're asking a team to do it for 6 games, which is, you want to win a national championship, do it for 6 games. We were asking Ohio State to do it for 20, and I don't think that's a reasonable thing to ask anybody. So I don't know if peak too early or if they just ran out of gas and just needed to stop, pull over at the next stop and go to a BP and get some gas real quick and then see what happens.
And then Jake's point of, like, which stretch is more indicative of who they are, right? I mean, is it like they were this team that, you know, was running through everybody? Or are they more like this team that, you know what, when they play the best teams, you know, they're lose to Michigan, lose the rematch to Iowa, got Izzo'd. I mean, like, what's of course the answer is somewhere in the middle. I realize that it's always somewhere in the middle. But what stretch is more indicative? Like, is this just a blip? Like, and I want to ask a big picture question about life in the Big Ten. But are you taking this three games, Stephen, as more of a blip or more of an indication of, man, they really might be more of a team that like should be happy to get to the Sweet 16, but they're not really a Final Four contender?
I'm taking it as a blip because some of the things are easily fixable, but also the way that they were winning those games during that 10-1 stretch, they weren't winning by 25 points. They beat Iowa by 4 points. They beat Maryland by 8 points. They beat Wisconsin by 12 points, but really pulled away at the end because you know how basketball games end, a bunch of free throws. They beat Illinois by 6 points. They beat Penn State by 4 points. They weren't beating these teams in a way that was just dominant. They were just winning basketball games, and that's how it's going to be. And I remember writing that this is how they're going to win a tournament game. Not going to blow anybody out. It's going to be a game for the first 35 minutes, and it's going to come down to those last 5 minutes who can execute. And against Iowa and Illinois, the first time around, they executed. Against Michigan, they didn't execute. Against Michigan State, that was – you got Izzo. You put it the exact way you should put it. You got Izzo, and your offense could not sustain itself. And then the same thing in the second time against Iowa, your offense, the best part of your team just didn't show up. But because of how that 10-1 stretch played out, I think that's a better indication of what this team is than a 20-point loss to Iowa at the end of that stretch.
So this Khalid kind of got to the nut of this a little bit. He referenced some previous sort of bad runs down the stretch by Big Ten teams, by Ohio State teams. Are the Buckeyes allergic to winning in the final stretch of the Big Ten? Why do these good Buckeye teams collapse at the finish line? So I don't know that's exactly fair. I did look back. They had a couple stretches, right? They had like the one NIT year for Mata. They kind of fell apart down the stretch and it wasn't great. And I remember like the last game that Thad Mata ever coached at Ohio State was a first round loss in the Big Ten tournament to Rutgers at the end of a rough year that was kind of like, wow, that was not good. And they were out of juice by the end there. So again, I'm asking sort of a question that I don't love these types of discussions, but Nathan, life in the Big Ten, because I do think life in Big Ten basketball today is similar to what it's been for the last decade, which is like, it's tough every night. There are multiple truly elite teams. And then there are multiple like very good basketball teams that can beat you if you don't bring your A game. Does that wear you down? Like if for a typical good Big Ten team, If you look a little worn down at the end of the year, is that life in the Big Ten?
A little bit. It's a rugged league. You think that should even out in the matchups, though, a little bit, because you're playing against other teams that should be beaten up and worn down a little bit. I want to give credit where it's due here. I think it was Colin Haas-Hill tweeted this out a couple weeks ago. He was talking about Ohio State. And because what I think I see happening here right now is I think some of they're playing. This has now been three games in a row against really strong opponents that may have exposed some things or taken advantage of things that were there all along. He pointed out in two decades of KenPom data, only one Final Four team ended the season ranked as low in adjusted defensive efficiency as Ohio State is right now. And it had Dwayne Wade. That would have been the Marquette team that went to the Final Four with Dwayne Wade. So once in a generation kind of player. As I've watched Ohio State here these last couple weeks, I have wondered if what we're seeing from them now is not like them wearing down, because Iowa should be wearing down. Michigan State should be wearing down. I don't know why Ohio State would be wearing down any more than any other team. I think it may just be that some of their deficiencies are coming to the forefront here and the things that they have to fix if they want to make a deep tournament run. This came up a couple weeks ago when we were doing another basketball episode, Steven and I, and somehow Ohio State kind of got brought up in the same breath as Iowa. And that was like an alarm bell for me, because Iowa is not a team that gets it done at the end of a season and into the tournament. They just don't. They don't. Like, that's their identity almost. You go out and you win 20 some games and you hope you win the right ones and that gets you in the tournament. There's been a couple years where it hasn't, or they had to get the play in game and then they lose in the first round or they lose in the second round to somebody uninspiring and go home. Like, that's Iowa basketball. That's not what Ohio State wants to be in. You go look at their resumes right now, very, very, very similar.
All right, we're going to take one more break, and I want to come back and talk about quadrant one wins and what the Big Ten as a whole might do in the postseason with clearly the best league in college basketball. What's that going to mean? Next on Buckeye Talk. All right, back on Buckeye Talk. We're wrapping up our basketball podcast. We're in the Zoom with our tech subscribers. If you'd like to be a tech subscriber and join us in the Zoom, 614-350-3315. Again, we've been shedding tech subscribers a little bit because I'm going to shoot you straight, right? We talked about, hey, we're gaining followers. We hit a good number. We're shedding them a little bit. But this is a good time to get back in because, Nathan, this is a basketball podcast, but Ohio State did release the other day officially when spring football will start. When is that again?
March 19th. Is the first day of spring drills. April 17th is being set aside right now, tentatively, as the spring game date. I imagine that's the day they'll have something. They don't know yet whether there's going to be people there.
So that's right around the corner. Again, I don't know that we're going to be standing there on the sideline, you know, watching every practice or anything, but we're going to have more like kind of current info coming out on the text. So again, it's you know, if you kind of peeled away or you never tried it yet, you know, in the next couple of weeks here would be a good time to maybe start back up again if you bailed, or if you've never tried it, now would be a good time. You send a text to 614-350-3315. You get a 14-day free trial. So it's like the beginning of March. Now you can hold off a little bit. That's cool. And then maybe try it like right when spring football starts and see what kind of stuff we're putting out there. You might like what we're putting out. Plus, Steven's going to live in Indiana.
Yeah.
And Steven, you can follow the exploits of Steven Means Hoosier. He's a Hoosier, Steven Means. He's a Hoosier. He's a Hoosier. He's a guy from Columbus, and he's living in Indiana for a month. It's the Steven Means Show from Cleveland.com. Try it. He'll text you where he's eating, what he's doing in his hotel room. But you're not going to live there. Tell the good people what the plan is here, Steven. And just if everybody doesn't know it, the Big Ten tournament is in Indianapolis. The entire NCAA tournament is in Indianapolis, and you will be going.
Yeah, so basically, I'm going to live in Columbus for three days out of the week and then live in Indiana the rest of the time because, obviously, the Big Ten tournament starts next Wednesday. But depending on which day Ohio State plays, we'll decide what day I decide to leave, whether if they play on a – they won't play – the earliest they'll play is Thursday. They're clearly going to get the bye out of the first round because they played that well. But if they get the double bye, they'll play Friday, so I'll probably leave Thursday instead of leaving Wednesday. But either way, the idea is – when the NCAA tournament starts as well, when that's Thursday through Sunday, as everybody knows, Monday through Wednesday, I live in downtown Columbus and, you know, eat here, don't spend any money and live in and be in my own comfortable bed. And then those other days I'm living up in a Fairfield in downtown Indianapolis or wherever their site is, whether that's at Indiana, whether it's at Purdue or IPFW, wherever it's IUFPW, I think is what the school is called. I don't remember. But the point is, 3 days a week, I'll be a Columbus native, and the other days of the week, I'll be an Indianapolis native.
Is it? There's an IUPUI, which is Indianapolis.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what
Indianapolis.
I mean.
But because there's also one of those in Fort Wayne, but I don't think there's stuff in Fort Wayne, right?
No, it's in
Indianapolis.
Yeah, yeah. They're all pretty close.
They're just all over the place. So you're going to be there for everything. You're going to be there. We're going to figure out when you're on the pod, when you're not on the pod, when we're checking in on basketball on the pod, when we're doing football. We're still doing a lot of football on the pod. But like Nathan and I are going to be here doing spring football, and you're going to be in Indianapolis doing a lot of basketball. And we're going to be texting and podding all of it. So exciting times ahead. So I do want to get into a little bit of the specifics of what we think they have to do to set themselves up for the tournament. And so I want to go to the quadrant one wins. I don't even know what the – what's a quadrant one win? I don't know.
If the team you beat is ranked inside the top 75 of the net rankings.
Okay. That's not true.
Well, no. It's
it depends
it's
on one, where the game. It depends on where the game was.
It's like, 1 through 75 if you're at home, and it's 1 through 50 if it's a road game, if I believe.
It's the other way around.
No, because you get more credit for winning on the road.
Right.
So if you
That's
beat
what I just said.
No, you said 1 through 75 at home. So 1 through 75 on the road, 1 through 50 at home. And it's a quad one win.
Yeah.
I think it might even be smaller than that. But then there's neutral court stuff comes into that too. But that's essentially what it is. Yeah.
So it's a thing. I don't know. Okay. So here are, as we speak here at 7:49 on Wednesday night. Ooey pooey. Yeah. Ooey pooey. Sam in the chat says it's ooey pooey.
I said ooey pooey, but I was on mute. You didn't hear it.
You were ooey mutey for ooey pooey.
Mutie Pooey.
Please never say that again.
Mutie Pooey, Buckeye Talk. All right, so the quad one wins among these four top Big Ten teams. Michigan is 8-2 in quad one games. Illinois is 9-6. That's a lot of quad one games. That's 15 quad one games. Iowa's 6-6. Ohio State's 7-6. So then when you look nationally, and this gives you some indication of the level of play in the Big Ten this year. Illinois with 9 quad one wins, that's the most in the country. No other team has 9 quad one wins. Illinois is 9-6. Michigan at 8-2, that's next best because they have 8 and they only have 2 losses. Oklahoma State is 8-4. And those are the only teams with 8 quad one wins. Okay. Now we're getting down to who has 7 quad one wins. Gonzaga is 7-0. Baylor is 7-1. And they're the two best teams in the country. Alabama is 7-4. Ohio State is 7-6. And Purdue is 7-7. So, like, when you look at that, it's like, okay, Baylor and Gonzaga, the two best teams in the country, they've played 7-8 quad one games. Ohio State's played 13 quad one games. Purdue's played 14. Illinois played 15. Michigan, with his jacked up mini schedules, played 10. So that's what's happening in the Big Ten. It's proof, right? I mean, we know it, eye test, whatever, rankings. They play more difficult games, more of them. So, Stephen, as we get to the end of the year, it's all this one of those things. We'll just see what happens, and then we'll backtrack and back apply, the reasoning based on the results. But I do think it's possible that Big Ten teams might be looking worn down. And Nathan, to your point, someone's got to win. So it's not like every Big Ten team's on a losing streak. But there might be Big Ten teams playing all these tough games that are looking worn down and tired at the end of the year here. But you get a couple days to prep for the Big Ten tournament. You get a couple days to prep for the NCAA tournament. And I know everyone talks about the quick turnaround once you start playing. But then you also have the time off, right? I mean, like, you get 4 days off in between. Steven, is it possible that there are some good Big Ten teams that might look tired now, but once they get out in the world of the tournament and they have a second to catch their breath, now when they're going up against teams who did not play these kind of tough schedules all year, that being toughened and hardened by that schedule will make them better in the NCAA tournament? Is it possible that we're going to observe Big Ten teams looking a little worn down now, and we're going to wind up with 3 Big Ten teams in the Final Four?
I think a Big Ten team is going to win the national championship this year. And that is exactly why.
For the first time since 2002.
Yeah.
That would be a huge thing. We've talked about it a gazillion times on here, written about it at Clemson.com a million times. That's a huge thing if the Big Ten wins a basketball national championship.
Yeah, and obviously they've gotten there. Michigan's gotten there a couple of times. Michigan State's gotten there. But I think this is the year when they finally do it. They've done this. They've worn each other down without the Big Ten cannibalizing itself. I think that's a good point. Yeah, that's a sweet spot that you want to live in. You haven't had to sacrifice an elite team because they've, even with Ohio State being on this 3-game winning streak, because of the foundation that was already laid, they didn't go from being the number 4 team in the country to the number 24 team. They dropped to number 7. So because of that, yeah, it's going to be a reprieve where it's, oh, man, we only have to wait on – we get a week to prepare every single time from here. And then there obviously is the turnaround, the 2-day turnaround for the next game. But we get a week to prepare every single week for that first game of the tournament weekend. And we're not playing a team for the second time who we know is a top 10 team in the country. The competition just might be weaker just based on who these guys have had to go through, not just throughout the season, but really just in the past 3 weeks, because Iowa, Illinois, Michigan, and Ohio State have had to play each other to close out the season. And then they're going to have to go through each other to get to the Big Ten championship game. So yeah, I think this was a perfect scenario for the Big Ten's best teams to have a journey that leads in a national championship.
I think what Steven said there was actually really important, because this idea of the Big Ten being really rugged and being a thing that like wears people down, that's been around forever. And it's there in those years where every Big Ten game seems like just a rock fight. Like it's a team of Wisconsin's got a team full of guys that look like Mick from Teen Wolf, and they're playing against, an Iowa that's got a bunch of guys that look basically the same, and they're just smashing into each other on a basketball court, and somebody gets bloody and wins the game at the end. But like, that's not what's happening this year. It's, there has been that separation into like this elite tier, and it's like nationally accepted. I think it shows up in the analytics and it shows up in the results.
I mean, when you look at the way that Ohio State and Michigan played against each other in that game, that looked like that was Final Four quality basketball from mm-hmm. both teams, right? And then when you look at what Illinois, without its best player, did to Michigan the other night, that's Final Four quality basketball, right? So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Iowa is a tick below. Now, I don't know. Can Garza go nuts and do something? I don't know. But Steven, we have recent proof, right? I mean, right here, if Illinois and Ohio State and Michigan play like that, we could see three of those three teams are all Final Four type teams.
And we're entering a situation, just, yes, Gonzaga is the number one team in the country, but they haven't played anybody, and that's not entirely their fault. The bulk of their non-conference schedule got canceled because of COVID situations. But what it boils down to is this. If they're going to play at that level, if Ohio State's going to play at the level they played against Michigan, even in a loss, if Michigan's going to play at the level they've played in basically in every game but the Illinois game since they came back from their COVID protocol, and Illinois is going to play the way that they played in that Michigan game, and I'll throw Iowa in there as well, the only teams that might be able to beat them are each other in the Big Ten. There might not be a team outside the Big Ten who can beat four teams who are playing like that. So at bare minimum, yeah, we might see two of those four get into the Final Four, and then one of them ends up winning the national championship.
At the moment in the bracket matrix, Michigan a 1 seed, Illinois a 1 seed, Ohio State a 2, Iowa a 2, Purdue a 5, Wisconsin a 6, Maryland and Rutgers each a 9. So that is 8 Big Ten teams in the bracket matrix at the moment, and that has Michigan State and Indiana both on the outside looking in. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm sure Michigan State and Indiana are both in a position if they make a little run here, right? I mean, if you do a little something in the Big Ten tournament, they both still have a shot to get in, Steven?
Especially Michigan State. I think that Ohio State game was pretty quality, obviously. And if Michigan State ends up in the Big Ten championship game, then I think they might get in. They'll have enough quality wins to do so. Indiana, not so much. I think their climb is a little higher. But I think Michigan State will probably end up in.
And against the teams that are projected to be in the field right now, Ohio State 6-4 overall against the Big Ten teams projected to be in the field. Nathan, the idea of this, that Steven Means is going on the record saying that he believes the Big Ten will win a national championship this year. I mean, again, you covered it for a long time. How big a deal would that be, do you think, Nathan?
I think it would be a huge thing. I mean, this league has been a quality league for a long time. In that gap that between the national championships, it's had teams get to national championship games. It's had teams, right there on the brink. It's had multiple teams get. I mean, it's not just like it's been one program that keeps coming back. You know, people associate that with Michigan State, but Wisconsin gets there. Ohio State gets there. Michigan gets there. Like it's so you're getting pretty deep into the roster of teams that can have proven they can get all the way to that game. And to just win it would finally be a little bit of a monkey off the back and would give this conference some of the long deserved respect that I think hasn't necessarily been there. But I will say, to kind of go back to this discussion of, how rugged a league is and how deep a league is and stuff like that. You know, people used to say that a lot about like the ACC, right? Like, how strong the ACC was, and they would get like 9-10 teams in there. But typically, like, which were the ones that got to the Final Four? It was like Duke and North Carolina. It was like, you've got to have that, I think, elite level talent to really separate. And I think this year, I think Steven might be right. I think there are Big Ten teams, maybe multiple Big Ten teams that might have that going for them this year.
And it's hard because they've had it in the past too, right? I mean, like Ohio State, since Michigan State won it all, it's like Mike Conley and Greg Oden lost mm-hmm. the national championship game. The Jared Sullinger Buckeyes lost in the Final Four when they should have won that game in the Final Four against Kansas, right? Was it against Kansas? Trey Burke. Trey Burke's national player of the year. You know, Michigan's right there. Frank Kaminsky was like as good as anybody in college basketball that year for Wisconsin. They're right there. Right. So, I mean, like they've been on the doorstep with really good players and it wasn't quite enough. So, I mean, stuff happens. There's weird things that happen, but I think this is very possible. So let's pull back here before we get out of here. That was NCAA tournament talk. Let's talk about the Big Ten tournament. They finished Saturday against Illinois. Steven, what are they right now? Are they the 5 seed in the Big Ten tournament as it stands right now?
They are the Right now they're the 5 seed, and the top 4 seeds are Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, and Purdue. And I mean, we can go through what needs to happen if they want to get that 4 seed, but a lot of things have to happen if they want to get that number 4 seed over the next 96 hours if they want to make that happen. So they're probably going to be a 5 seed, and it's a good spot for them to be in because they won't necessarily have to go through at least 2 of those, Illinois, Iowa, and Michigan, to get to a Big Ten championship game. That they just have to go through one of them in order to get there.
Okay, so, but like, what in a worst case scenario, right? Let's say they lose to Illinois, mm-hmm. and then they wind up, I guess they would be the 5 seed. What, like, I don't know, could they lose? So if they would be, could they lose like their first round? Like, I don't know, could they fall to like a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament? Like if they lose to Illinois and then they lose their first round game to like the Northwestern Penn State winner? Like, is that possible?
I don't think so. No, I think their scenario is maybe they sneak in as a 1 seed if they win the Big Ten championship game. And at worst, they're the lowest ranked 2 seed.
If they win the Big Ten tournament, they're a 1 seed.
Right. So that's their best case scenario. At worst, they're the lowest ranked 2 seed just because they've built up enough equity to show that they're one of the 8 best teams in the country.
Okay. So that's not, you know, that means maybe this end of the year is not that incredibly important, right? What do you say, Nathan?
Well, isn't what you're talking about, though, wouldn't that be a 5-game losing streak at that point?
That would be, I mean, like that, and that would be the thing. I mean, are they really going to lose to like Northwestern in their first game? But it's like, if you lose to 4 good teams at the end of the year, right, to lose like 4 tournament teams, and then you lose to a goofy team, that is a worst case scenario that might make you 3, I guess.
But they're also pretty, if you look at bracket matrix, they're pretty, and a lot of they're pretty comfortable in that number 2 seed spot. 1.99 is their average seed amongst these brackets, while the 3 seeds are 2.7, 3.02, 3.21, 3.28. So that's why if they weren't already in a situation where they're already viewed as the highest 2 seed, then yeah, I think they're in danger of getting the 3 seed. But being viewed already in that light, and the way that, and even the midseason top 16 that the NCAA selection committee put out, where they were a 1 seed, they're already viewed in such a high light that I think they've done enough to secure a 2 seed.
I mean, the bracket matrix is just a collection of ding dongs, yeah. But it's still ding dongs. But I think the quadrant 1 wins matter, right? That they already have 7 quadrant 1 mm-hmm. wins. Only 3 programs have more than 7 quadrant 1 wins. And if they lose to Illinois, even if they got upset, they'd be 7-7 in quadrant 1 games. That's still pretty good compared to a lot of other teams out there. So maybe they hang on to that number 2, but you know, they're going to be okay, I think. They're going to wind up, Stephen, do you expect them by the time they get to the tournament? We do think they'll be a little more rested. They're getting a little rest this week. They have like the bye this week. They don't have a midweek game this week. They're getting a little breather. Should they be healthy and rested by the time we get to the tournament? And by the time we get to the NCAA tournament, will they be the best of who they are?
I think so. Yeah, I think this week of rest has been valuable. I think that Illinois game is going to be played out similar, especially if Iowa plays similar to what the Michigan game was and the first Iowa game was, where it's going to come down to those last 5 minutes, and they'll offensively get back to being the team we've known them to be all season. And it will be enough momentum for them to take into March Madness, both Big Ten tournament and NCAA tournament, regardless of what happened in the Big Ten tournament for them.
All right. I'm going to put you both on the spot before we get out of here. And again, we didn't have any hands raised in here. If you want to throw something in, go ahead. What is more likely, that Ohio State makes the Final 4 or Ohio State does not make the Sweet 16?
So Ohio State does not make the Sweet 16.
You think it's more likely, Nathan? Why are you so strong on that answer?
Because of what I said before. I just don't think Ohio State where they are defensively, I don't know if they can correct that in this short of amount of time and then win 6 games, or win, I guess it would only, you'd have to win 4 in that case. But like, I just don't know if I see that from them. And I think it makes them more vulnerable to an upset from a team that just locks it in one of these first 2 games.
I'd say it makes the Final 4 just because, I mean, no, they're not the best defensive team, but they were never the best defensive team. That's not what their calling card was. It was their ability to score points. And outside of that Iowa game, they've consistently showed an ability to score points. And they can win a game 80-74. So, but they're not, I don't know how many times they're going to win a game when it's in the 50s or 60s. So if they're going to, if their offense returns, it doesn't, it can, their offense is good enough to make up for the defensive problems.
It's just a reminder. I mean, like, it gets real in the NCAA tournament really fast. Like, if they're a 2 seed, they're going to face a good 7. Like, the 7 seed they face in the round of 32 is going to be like a really good basketball team. So they're going to have to be like, they have to be ready to go. No, that is the difference. Sometimes there could be a big difference sometimes between like that 7 seed, or you get, you know, I don't know, versus make sometimes an 8 or 9 seed. I don't know. Like, getting a 1 seed, I think, can be a big deal sometimes if they somehow could get it.
Well, I think the difference between a 2 and a 3 could be a huge deal sometimes too. And even where you fall on the seed line, like you're the number 7 seed, the best number 7 seed, if you plot it out, is essentially a top 25 team. That's who you're playing in the second round. It's legit.
Yeah. But I also think, Steven, in the end, they will be at their best. They should be at their best health, rest, everything by the time it's time to go in mid-March. And if they are at their best, we have seen, I think there was probably a week-long stretch there before this losing streak where they weren't quite as good as people thought. Right. I mean, I think if there was like a discussion of like, it's Baylor, Gonzaga, and Michigan, and then like Ohio State's at the top of the next pack. Right. I think maybe that's not quite true. But also, they're not like a 3-game losing streak team. That's not really who they are either. But they should be at their best when it matters in 2 weeks.
This is outside of obviously losing their last 3 games. I think given what this team's schedule has looked like for the past 14 games, this is the best case scenario for Ohio State. Week of rest, a quality opponent to close out the season that can give you some momentum going into March. So, yeah, I think they'll get back to that.
And listen, in the Big Ten, right, you win some, you lose some. Mm-hmm. The way Illinois looked against Michigan, if Ohio State beats Illinois on Saturday, that's going to remind people again. And that's going to kind of wipe out that 3-game losing streak really quickly if they take it to Illinois the way Illinois just took it to Michigan. So they have a chance. Yeah. They have a chance here. And then that's the kind of thing that puts you back in the 1 seed discussion, because you might be fighting Illinois for that 1 seed. And then they would be 2-0 against Illinois. And it's like, well, what are you going to give Illinois a 1 seed ahead of Ohio State? What are you talking about? Like, in terms of seeding, and Nathan, to your point, now you're getting into like, who are you playing in the second round? Are you playing a 6, or are you playing an 8 or a 9? Right. I mean, that they have a chance. If you look at it that way, it's not the end of the world. Right. But they have a chance to sort of really, I think, up their Sweet 16 chances by beating Illinois on Saturday, because I think that puts them right back into 1 seed discussion.
Yeah, and especially if I think it helps them, even if it just keeps them, if it helps them stay in that top 4 for the Big Ten seeding somehow, right? It's the double bye is a huge deal.
Yeah.
Especially with this team. Yeah, with the health issues, 100%. The more days you have off, the better.
All right, that's our basketball podcast, the Big Thursday podcast. We'll be back on Friday with Best Friends Forever. Buckeye Friendly Fire. No, was it Buckeyes? Buckeyes are friends, fellas.
Buckeye Friday Futures.
Ah, Buckeye Friday Futures. They said I could be on it, so I'll guest on it. I'm not a BFF, but I'll just be on it. So we'll be back for that on Friday. Then we'll hit you with football again on Saturday. Again, spring football is right around the corner. Tournament time for basketball right around the corner. A great time to be reading cleveland.com/OSU, to be trying the texts at 614-350-3315, and to be listening to Buckeye Talk 5 days a week, Tuesday through Saturday. Thanks to everybody who hung out in the Zoom. Thanks to everybody who listened. For Nathan and Steven, I'm Doug, and that was Buckeye Talk.